Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is Friday the 8th of July, 2022. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope everyone is doing well. It's the week after the 4th of July. I hope everyone had a safe and fun, exciting holiday. If you can or did, hopefully it wasn't too much trouble. I know for a guy who's sober today, we had an awesome holiday. Just one of the best holidays I've had in a long time. And I will say it was because we're sober, but I've been sober for a while. But I just think, you know, we really, you know, I don't know about you, but I know for me, man, even though I'm sober, I'm still, you know, I can still be a mess and I can talk myself in and out of things. I share about all this on this podcast, these, you know, these conversations and voices and, you know, ideas and bad ideas and good ideas. And so this past weekend was just one of those weekends that I didn't allow the voices to get in our way. And 4th of July is definitely one of the weekends where a lot of the voices show up. And we ignored them, right? You know, we rode our bike into the town of Rehoboth to watch the fireworks on the 3rd. You know, the voice was saying, I don't know if you should do it, right? It's going to be a lot of people. It's going to be crazy. You're not going to have a good time. Wasn't the case. Yeah, the voice was wrong. We actually hopped on my e-bike, and I got this bike, and we can all, my wife and daughter and I can all ride on the thing. And then, so we rode into town and watched the fireworks and just had a blast and got home and everything was fine. And all the drama that I had created in my head or would have created in my head. And it's not even really created. There is actually really an issue with the amount of people that are here. If you live anywhere that has a big fireworks show, you know, a lot of people like to come. And we live at the beach, so of course everybody comes in and gets very crowded and crazy. And you know, 9 out of 10 of the times I would say, let's not go. It is too busy. Or ride the bus in. But we live next to this cool Junction Breakwater Trail, and we can ride the bus right into... we can ride our bikes right into the town, and that's what we did. So it was really just a weekend of ignoring, you know, that voice that says, oh, it's going to be too crowded. And, you know, even in conversations that I have with people about the weekend, most people are like, no, we didn't go to the fireworks. We didn't want to fight the crowds, and, you know, they couldn't fight the voice, right? But doesn't really matter. We had an amazing time, so we rode the bike in on the 3rd, and then we went to, and basically spent the whole weekend going to the pool, which is a lot of fun. And then on the 4th, we went over to an event that was happening over by my dad's house, and then that event actually looked over the bay, which in fact looked over the Dewey Beach fireworks. So we had a whole weekend of fireworks and fun. So I hope everyone else did. Stayed sober, thank God. You know, we did go to this event on, I guess it was on Monday, and it was a big, big social event, big local social event, and a lot of drinking going on. And, you know, I was telling my wife, I haven't been thinking about drinking, but I do think about the social lubricant, right? One of the things that happens with me is, at least when I'm as a person that's sober, is I can, you know, I can talk to people. I have definitely like to chat and I have a lot of friends, but you know, that first or second drink kind of energy, right? And in my mind, as a person that doesn't drink, I've put a lot of power into that one or two drink energy. Like, oh, if I could just drink one or two drinks and that was it, and really have that, you know, the ability to have that one or two drink excitement of, you know, because it's always, you know, even in my memories, you know, I can remember the first and second drink is kind of, you know, really setting the tone. You know, I think people that drink mostly want to drink for the one and two drinks, right? You know, I just happen to drink 10 or 12, but, you know, so I, for some reason, you know, sort of building up this weird little case in my head, like, oh, poor you, you have to not drink and get, you don't get to experience that one or two drink excitement that everybody else is having. And so for some reason that was on my mind. I shared it with my wife. I told her that, you know, I kind of made the statement like, oh, yeah, I've been thinking about the drinking all day. Like, not that I want to drink, but it's just, listen, just because I'm sober doesn't mean, and I've shared this before, doesn't mean I don't miss alcohol. Just because I'm sober doesn't mean that I didn't love drinking, right? I just have some point made a choice that this sober mess is better than a drinking mess. And so it's not like I'm, you know, that upset about it. I'm really not. But, you know, if I want to be honest, it was on my mind. And especially when you're at an event with all these people and watching them drink. And we were at the pool at one point, and this group of people, you know, had come sit next to us, not because they wanted to chat with us, because they just wanted those seats. And they start, you know, start ordering Tito's and lime and all this vodka. And I was like, oh, man. I'm like, is that the popular drink now? Tito's and lime or something? And, but I'm like, you know what? Let's get out of here. And yeah. So we had a great weekend, very sober. Thank God. Very blessed. Got to spend a lot of great time with the kids and, you know, and help building memories with them. Right. You know, all the memories that I hope my kids have, none of it will ever include like us drinking. I know the little ones never have. David hasn't either. And so I hope to keep it that way. And I think as in the end that becomes sort of a foundation for their future. I know as a kid growing up with parents that actively drank, alcoholically, not alcoholically, I'm not sure. But I know that my parents are big drinkers. My mom was a big drinker. And the parties and all the stuff that would go along with it. And you know, I think that was kind of the seed that was planted when it came time when I was 13, 14, 15. You know, I shared before my first drink was at my parents' bar. You know, they had now we would call it like a man cave, but my parents had a bar in their living room. And I remember our first drink was at their bar, you know, acting like them. And so I've always been grateful that we don't drink, and hopefully we never will. And hopefully that, you know, whether my kids or whatever drink one day, I don't know, but it's not going to be recreating our behavior or our parties, right? But, you know, I thought today, you know, I read, I talked about the fifth step, you know, admitting to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. You know, when I decided to do that step thoroughly, correctly, I was in a place of humility, right? I was ready to start to figure out some of these, you know, these gifts that some of these steps, or all these steps give us. And then in the sixth step, it says, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. That's a big step, right? And I'll just read it. Step six, necessary to spiritual growth. The beginning of a lifetime job. Recognition of difference between striving for objective and perfection. Why we must keep trying. Being ready is all important. Necessity of taking action. Delay is dangerous. Rebellion may be fatal. Point at which we abandon limited objectives and more towards God's will for us. Yeah. And then step seven. This one is really awesome. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Humbly asked, right? Humbly asked. So really, this is like, you know, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. This is really when you know, humility for me starts trying to make its presence known. And, you know, my buddy Matt says this is step seven, is the step where we stop being a victim, right? You know, there's some times, I think, in our lives where we absolutely feel like a victim. And then there's absolutely times in our lives where we don't realize it, but I used to make everything out and I was a victim. And that is no good. Yeah, so the seventh step, you know, when my buddy Matt used to say this is the step where we stop being the victim, you know, I didn't understand because, you know, through my life I've always thought like a victim was someone that like had a gun pointed at them, you know, or somebody that had, you know, lightning strike them, or somebody that was, you know, robbed or, you know, whatever. It's just like you had like the culprit and the victim, right? And so when my buddy Matt started talking about, you know, this is a step where we stop being the victim, I was like, oh, okay. And not really understanding it, but later after working through the step and living and, you know, and experiencing pain and figuring out why and wanting to get rid of it, did I start to understand this step and really the real true issue of my problem. Which is I'm a self-centered asshole and a deficiency in humility. And when you're deficient in humility, you are a fucking victim. And, you know, if I read it, it says the seventh step. Oh, so today is the daily reflections. And this came up and I was like, you know, it kind of just makes sense when this sort of thing kind of happens, when it's kind of gets to a place and all of a sudden daily reflection starts reflecting on the same thing. And it's like this whole message from God. But it says for today, July 8th, it says the seventh step is where we make the change in our attitude, which permits us, with humility as our guide, to move out from ourselves towards others and towards God. That's huge. Which permits us, with humility as our guide, to move out from ourselves. What does that mean? Move out from ourselves. Like, to me, that means that when I'm in my full self mode, I am what's most important. You know, it's like a one person restaurant, and I'm the waiter and I am also the customer. And it's just focus on me all the time. I need this. How can I help you? I want this. I'll be right. It's just one big circle jerk. And I cannot get out of my own way, you know? And I remember, you know, when I was out in San Diego, and in the past I'd say I was just a guy that had a lot of bad luck, right? Just had bad luck. No, that's what an addict says. I got bad luck. You know, that's what the parents of addicts say. He just got bad luck. No, you know, when I was out in San Diego, I was hanging out with my buddy Rob, and you know, we lived in the underworld, right? The life behind after the sun went down, and with all the shady characters, and usually, you know, we were looking to get high or get drunk or something. If we were interacting with you, you either knew where to get something or you had what we were looking for. And we had gone over to these guys' house, and out in San Diego, man, it was a tough crowd out there. I mean, lot of, you know, like the kind of shit that you see on TV, and a lot of gangs, and you know, you have gangs, and you have, like, you know, West Coast, you know, I live at the beach kind of gangs, these local kind of hood rats that, you know, will fucking put a knot on your head if they don't like how you're messing around in their town. And one night we're at this guy's house looking for some probably meth or something, and walked down this, and it was like, you know, it's right out of like SCI. The scene is like walking down this dark hallway of a house with like the room to the left seemed like it had a black light on. So like purple light was coming out of one room, and you'd walk by, and it was all in slow motion, and you'd walk by and look in one room, and there'd be people in there, and you'd walk by and look in another room, and there'd be people in there. And I walked by this room, and there was this big fucking dude, no shirt, you know, hanging out, drinking, and just, you know, I had no ill intent. We were just, hey, what's going on? You know, just walking by. And we get down at the end of the hall and go through this door, and this big-ass dude walks up to me and just fucking punches me. Like he thought I was looking at him. You know, this is the, you know, more bad luck, right? And I'm not looking for no trouble. We're just trying to get some speed or something. And you know, and I got, you know, punched. He didn't like the way that I looked at him. I had bad luck, right? And I remember I just had a knot on the side of like on the side of my face. So it wasn't like I was dead or it was that bad, but I remember going home and my dad's like, "What the fuck happened to your face?" And I'm like, you know, I don't know, right? I don't know what happened, but it wasn't my fault. It was never my fault. And, you know, I had to go to the doctor, and I think I had a cracked orbital bone or something. And you know, but this story always comes up, and, you know, my dad likes to, you know, that asshole that punched you or that asshole that did this. And, you know, and listen, I can go through my whole life like that. I can be, you know, I can carry that in my backpack of whatever on my, you know, on my journey. Oh yeah, some asshole punched me, you know. And this is a step where it says, hey, do you want to do that? Do you want to carry that? Do you want to be the victim of that? Because when I'm a victim, man, I'm not moving forward, right? My buddy Matt used to say victims never get better, right? They're just constantly victim. And they love living in the victim world, and they don't want to do anything about it. And, you know, that's where the word accountability started to show up. You know, you start becoming accountable. And, you know, you start taking responsibility for fucking my actions. And when I start to do that, then I can figure out ways of not getting myself in that same fucking jam. And if I was to take a look at that situation today that happened back then in San Diego, you know, first of all, what the fuck am I doing at this guy's house, right? We weren't, I don't think we ever knocked. I don't think we were ever invited, right? I think we're just, you know, it was like a flop house. Like everybody just kind of hung out there, and you know, if I had never gone there, right, I could have avoided the whole thing. If I wasn't using drugs, if I wasn't running the streets, if I wasn't behaving and doing the things that I was doing, I would have never had my feet in that house. But I was doing what I was doing, and that's what you get sometimes. And but I had to. It would be years where I would say, "Listen, Tom, you know, you went there. It wasn't even your house. You're looking for drugs, fucking hanging out at some weird people's house. They don't know who the fuck you are. They didn't like you. You got fucking punched. That's how it goes sometimes, right? Don't go. First of all, don't get high. Right? Don't hang out with people that are high. Don't go places that are looking for people or things to get high. And if you're probably going to avoid getting punched. It's very simple. But it has to, I have to stop and start taking a look at the part that I played. If I'm going to say, listen, that guy should have never done that. Woo. Yeah, well, you're going to be a victim for your whole life. And I don't want to be that way, you know. I don't want to be, you know, victims, all they do is talk about the past, right? Oh, this happened to me. This happened to me. They can't talk about the future. They can't talk about the present because they're so fucking victimized from a lot of the dumb shit that they did. Yeah, sometimes maybe, you know, if you're just a person and someone breaks in your house and steals your shit, I mean, that doesn't sound like you played a role in it. But listen, I remember a cop told me once, there's three sides to every story. His side, her side, and the truth. And, you know, getting to the truth is always very, very challenging, but it requires humility. But, you know, then you have to fall, and it says in there, which I thought was kind of cool, because, you know, there's always that word of, you know, rightly, right? And but it says, where was it? It says, what is humility? What can it mean to us? The avenue to true freedom of the human spirit. Necessary aid to survival, value of ego puncturing, failure and misery transformed by humility, strength from weakness, pain is the admission price to new life. Self-centered fear, chief activator of defects. Step 7 is a change in attitude which permits us to move out of ourselves towards God. Yeah. Using it as a guide. I don't know. But the point is that, you know, I was ready to stop being a victim. And I was ready to, you know, how can I ever get better if I'm constantly in the fucking hospital, right? If I'm constantly being a victim, how do I ever get better? And it was about becoming accountable. And that was a big, big freaking deal. You know, but you still have to do things rightly, and you still have to understand your motivation, and, you know, you still have to think, I like to try to think about things, you know, a couple times before I start, you know, making my admissions, my admitting my guilt, right? But just about everything that I do in my life, I'm the reason, or it really just doesn't happen. You know, like I said, unless someone's breaking in your house. But most of the things that have happened to me in my life have been my fault, right? Crashing a car, I was drunk, right? Getting punched, I was a big mouth in somebody's house. When I got punched in San Diego, I was not drunk. We were just looking for drugs. And these guys were badass dudes, big fucking huge guys. And they didn't, you know, in San Diego and I think in a lot of places, you know, you look at people the wrong way and they'll fucking punch you. And I think I just looked in the room as I walked down the hall. It was like this, you know, this memory of me just walking, looking, no intent. I'm not a big guy. I'm not looking. We don't want any trouble. In fact, actually, I thought these guys were our friends. But they were all, you know, they're all in the fucking drug game. So there was no friends. But, you know, just, you know, for a long time, I didn't do anything. It would take getting sober and really taking a hard look at this, at my life in these moments where I realized, you know, you absolutely were at fault. You shouldn't have been there. You shouldn't have been getting high. There's 100 different things you could have done to avoid that situation. And that's, you know, I think that's, it's key, man. It is a big deal. You know, taking blame for the shit and for the actions that got us to where we are today. And listen, I can be sober. You know, it happens all the time. You know, there's in business. You know, we'll go through a couple weeks and I'll get paid and, you know, maybe my pay or my commission's low And I'm like, God damn it. You know, business is slowing down. It's the economy. There were a couple of days in that week where I decided to leave work early, right? Or there was a day where I'm like, I'll book them tomorrow or I'll make it up through the week, and then never did. And then I'm at the end of the week and I have a low paycheck and I'm like, you know, I'm starting to blame the economy. I'm starting to blame, you know, the recession or whatever it is, inflation. And the reality was is that I left early, right? And I can either be a victim, you know, at one point I'm either a victim of inflation and the economy, or I'm just a victim of my procrastination and laziness. You know, but it isn't until I find the honesty to really take a hard look at it and figure out what it was that I did. And then you can also like be like, well, it's because I took a couple days off. I know what's up. And then still kind of live the role of the victim as someone that's suffering from the economy because, you know, maybe we don't tell everybody the real truth and we just say, yeah, you know, it's slow. I will say this is a slow time of year because a lot of people are on vacation with their kids and stuff. August 1st comes back and, you know, it's like it never happened. Business is back. We're back. But yeah, it's really just the accountability. So what else did this thing say? It says, all right, let me read it again. The seventh step is where we make the change in our attitude, which permits us with humility as our guide, right there, with humility as our guide, which means, you know, for me, I have to have an open mind. If someone says, this is your fault, and that's why you're in the situation you're in, I have to have a mind that says, okay, let me think. What did I actually do? You might be right. there could be some validity to that. Or I can think of when I was a kid with no open mind and someone said, this is your fault. I'd say, it was the fucking world's fault. You know, it was everything else, everybody else's fault, but not mine. So having, it says, which permits us with humility as our guide, meaning for me, an open mind, the ability to, you know, become accountable, to move out from ourselves towards others and towards God. And then it says 12 steps and 12 traditions, page 76. When I finally ask God to remove those things blocking me from Him with the sunlight of the Spirit, I embarked on a journey more glorious than I had ever imagined. I experienced a freedom from those characteristics that had me wrapped up in myself. Because of this humbling step, I feel clean. I am especially aware of this step because I'm now able to be useful to God and to my fellows. I know that He has granted me strength to do His bidding and has prepared me for anyone and anything that comes my way today. I am truly in His hands, and I give thanks to the joy that I can be useful today. Yeah, that's great. You know, I forget, you know, it's been a while since I got to experience, you know, when a person realizes what a self-centered fucking asshole they are and their lack of humility, and when they start to understand what humility is, you know, like we were watching Seinfeld and there's this episode where George and Jerry are sitting at a table and they're like, what are we doing, right? You know, what the fuck are we doing? And what they're doing is they're just living a life of self, right? Whatever they like, right? And this is obviously a television show, so whatever. But, you know, they're empty. They're empty inside. And so they decide that they're going to volunteer and help out the elderly. And Jeff and George is like, yes, I'm going to help somebody. I'm going to feel good, right? And there is a moment where we start to recognize how self-centered we are, really, and that there is a big fucking gaping hole in our soul because we are so busy helping ourselves and doing what self wants that we're not paying attention to others. We're not experiencing any humility. So when that does start to happen, it is a miracle. It does feel fucking crazy. You know, you're like, wow. It's like the lights just got turned on. Like, wow, that is... You know, and then, but, you know, trying to figure out how to do it rightly, you know, you have to understand your motivation. And, but it is, and it's been so long since I went through that, you know, that I, like when I read this, I don't feel, I'm especially aware of this step because now I'm able to be useful to God. And, you know, I love that. I think as a person that's sober, that's been sober a long time, I think I'm useful to God. I think I try to be a good, you know, a humble, helping human to the best of my abilities. I'm definitely better at it than I used to be. So I don't try to be a preacher for God, but I try to be a good example for people. And I think we are. You know, I have people all the time. My sobriety, there's people that I work with that are sober today that got sober because of us being sober. Whether they work a program or not, I don't know. That's none of my business, but they've chosen to stop drinking, you know. We've made not drinking look okay and not great, you know. And in fact, it can be a little boring, you know, coming through this holiday that we just came through. It was sort of like that. We had an excellent time, right? We had a blast, but, you know, did we run down the beach with our shoes off and screaming, hooting and hollering? No, because we weren't buzzed. You know, whatever. Anyway. I hope everyone has a great day. Stay sober, read the steps, work on them, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.